took one of my daughters to a Christmas party tonight, and there was a photographer there, and this guy named Dan just loves Coast to Coast. I mean, he can't get enough of the program. And he was running all over the place trying to take my picture, and we accommodated him, of course, but had a great time. It's that season. It is that season. And talking about accommodating, we're going to take your calls this hour as we're dealing with David Roland, his thoughts. He thinks the universe always was. I want to get your take on that, too. It is mind-blowing, to be sure. But I've been right all these years. There's not one physicist who can explain to me what the Big Bang Theory is, because there isn't an answer. And welcome back to Coast to Coast, back with David Roland. David, I even still have a difficult time comprehending something that always was. I just can't get it. Help me.
Well, the thing is, you're absolutely right. It's physics cannot explain it because it's beyond physics. And it really belongs to the philosophical branch called metaphysics.
Aha, okay.
Metaphysics literally means beyond physics.
Are we dealing with a supernatural thing here?
Depending on your definition, it's entirely natural, but it's beyond the physical. How about that?
Now, when you add in, next hour I'm going to be talking about life after death and things like that. When you add in all those ingredients into this puzzle,
yep.
Does it all then begin to make sense?
Absolutely. You know, here's the thing I mentioned in the first half, that when you say, this is my body, who's speaking? It's you speaking as a spirit. So it logically follows that when your body's gone, your spirit still continues.
Interesting. Well, we're going to take calls with you, David, so have some fun with our amazing listeners who have minds better than most physicists, by the way.
Sure, great.
Let's go to Bill in the state of Washington. Hey, Bill, welcome.
Hey, thanks, George. I just read an article about these two astrophysicists. One is Batygin, and the other guy is a Michael Brown. They are the Planet Nine theorists.
Uh-huh.
Right? They believe that way out there in the Oort cloud, or maybe even beyond the outer edge of the Oort cloud, there's a planet, a massive interstellar object that is perturbing the rotations of trans-Neptunian objects. Okay.
Okay.
Now, though, they're saying, look, it doesn't add up. So now what they're proposing, that it might be a primordial black hole, a primordial singularity about the size of maybe a basketball even. And I would like to ask your guest what, he thinks about black holes and quantum singularities. And also I'd like to give my, my idea on this whole existence.
Well, let's get yours first, and then we'll get his question. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, I'm like you, George, but I'm a little bit different. The problem is there is no such thing as nothing. Okay, and you're in California near Fermilab, where they are colliding particles even as we speak that should not exist. I mean, they're just theoretical, and they're making these particles manifest, okay? I'm talking about leptons and, well, not really a lepton, but a muon they're searching for, and neutrinos, and these particles. I think this universe is dimensionality. That's all it is. And pretty soon it will go to a quantum zero spin state, a singlet state, where there is no energy, there is no mass. And at that point, I believe, there could be some sort of energy source, maybe from another dimension, whatever the case may be, that will reignite, so to speak. Because I'm with your guess. Big Bang, I think, is a misnomer. Okay?
Sure.
And then also, as far as our intelligence goes and philosophy and everything, look, a peacock has elaborate ornamental feathers, all right? Evolution has given it that. So it can attract a mate, and it can procreate and have little baby peacocks. Well, the thing is at the end of the day, it pecks its food up out of the dirt, and it is a bird, and it is a descendant of what we would call a dinosaur. So anyways, this thought of the self-awareness we have, I think we put too much into it. I think it is just, but you can't remove the ego. I'm not criticizing anyone. Removing the ego is part of the evolutionary gift for our survival.
All right.
I think we put too much into it.
Yeah, let's get into his question now about the primordial black hole. What do you think about that there, David?
Primordial and singularity do not exist in terms of an origin of the universe. They all mean the same thing, primordial and singularity. The Big Bang is a singularity, but if the Big Bang is an impossibility, then any singularity is an impossibility. End of argument.
How do you explain, let's assume you're correct, that the universe never had a beginning, never has an end, it's just there.
Yeah.
How do we then explain the complexity of life? I'm here talking to you on a national radio show. Millions of people are listening to us. I'm where I am. I'm in St. Louis. You're where you are right now. How do we explain the complexity of that in addition to just trying to figure out how the universe started, and you say it was always there? Now let's add life into the equation. How in the world did that get going?
Oh, yeah. That's a really good question, you see, because you can physics cannot create biology, and biology cannot create consciousness. There must have been some kind of we'll call it loosely, divine intervention. There must have been some non-physical direction. There must be a universal mind that has created all of this. And
can we call that mind God, for lack of a better phrase or word?
If you like, but that's a rather loose term that has many unfortunate connotations. Universal mind, it keeps it free from those interpretations.
Let's go to Linda, Spokane, Washington. Hi, Linda.
Hi, George. It's nice to talk to you again. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome. What do you think of all of this, Linda?
Well, in my opinion, I think, like you say, how could this start? How could it always be? What about that word eternity? I think there is a planet that is eternal. And I think God came from that place in a spaceship and came here and saw the waters and the deep and the darkness, and this earth was nothing without form. And he spoke, he had this thought to say, let there be light. I know that's kind of
biblical, right?
Yeah, it's biblical, but I think that's what happened. And he talked about the light came and he called it day, and then there was that darkness, so he separated it and called it night.
Linda, who built a spaceship for God?
Well, I think it came from his eternal planet where he originated from, and I think he had that technology to travel like Star Trek.
Well, we're getting to a point here now where we're talking about the possibility, David, of life being seeded here by other beings. Linda claims it was the God being, but my question again is, how did that start?
Yes, well, I agree with her that about eternity and eternal life. That definitely is the universe we have, and I agree that that life has been seeded here by alien life forms. It's easy when you go through the evolution. There are some evolutionary anomalies that couldn't possibly have happened. From just the Darwinian approach. But then we go back to, okay, so then these alien races, they're part of the same plan as we are.
Let's go to Bob in Bozeman, Montana. First time caller for Robert. Hello, Bob. Go ahead.
This is Bob, the original internet evangelist.
It's you.
Oh, finally on here. I've never been on here before. You know, you hit a great one for me tonight, because I wrote some papers on this stuff and what all. I have a bachelor in science ed, and did all but thermal of a physics bachelor. And so I had a good background for kind of evaluating a lot of things logically there. But I actually wrote up a thing that discusses in detail the velocities of our two closest galaxies, M31 and M33.
Mm-hmm.
And they defy any model that would have them expanding from a common point 14 billion years ago.
These galaxies are the ones that are blue shifted, that astrophysicists believe they're heading towards us rather than away from us.
Yeah, they actually didn't know the velocities till about 15 or 20 years ago, somewhere 17 maybe.
Well, but I'm saying
the normal velocities, they assume
I'm saying none of these galaxies have any velocities. There was a study in 2014 by Eric Lerner and associates. They applied the Tolman surface brightness test to 1,000 galaxies and concluded that they're all in the same relative position to the Milky Way that they've always been in.
I wouldn't doubt that. The electromagnetic possibilities of why there's blue or red shift are extensive, as we see in quasars.
Yeah.
But the point is, I'm using their own logic and defeating them with their own using.
Excellent reasoning. Yeah, excellent.
Anyway, but the whole, you know, God being forever, something being for everything, I mean, something had to be forever, because otherwise you have a non-causal fallacy. You have something coming from nothing.
Right, exactly.
Rest easy, George. It's
everybody's
I put up a post on your Facebook page and discussed the few things there to you. You might not have me on sometime. I've got some pretty interesting stories.
All right, cool, super. And email me, too, some numbers and things like that, Bob. But it is a perplexing question, David, isn't it? My gosh.
Well, not to me.
it's easy for you to say that it always was.
Well, yeah, but see, that's the point. We have a finite experience in these bodies. And for something to be forever, it's hard to imagine. The only way I can get to it in a personal way is that, well, as I said before, when you say this is my body, who's speaking? It's your spirit. And I know when you finish with this body, you can assume other bodies, because I remember some of my previous lives. I've been to places. I've stood on my own graves.
Okay, and I cannot accept that. I believe in reincarnation.
Yep.
Let's go to Levi in Eugene, Oregon. Welcome to the program. Hi, Levi.
Hello. Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
I was just curious, with the universe containing all that exists, including time, of course, wouldn't that make time also equally as old? Or if not, how would you determine what, you know, the age or the priority of which one existed first?
And what is time, David?
Time is an abstraction. It's a mental concept. There are a number of metaphysical explanations for the universe, but the one that feels comfortable to me is that there simply is a non-physical realm. It's a realm of mind, and in that realm, there's no such thing as time. Everything, and from that realm, we can look in on it on Earth or other planets and say, okay, what's happening there is played out in linear fashion, in time fashion, but in the bigger reality, there is no time, and I know this is possible because I've done it. During sleep to go out of body and go back in time to a different location.
See, you're touching on a lot of things that we talk about on this program, but you truly are into the metaphysical realm, which may get us an answer, because we're not going to get it from conventional science.
Absolutely not. That's right.
Susan in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Suze. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm kind of nervous.
You're fine.
I'm your age, George. I was born in 1950.
You're only 42. Well, how about that?
Well, and I had appendicitis in about 1953-54, and it turned into peritonitis.
Oh, geez.
And I had a near-death experience.
I know. That could have killed you. You're right.
Well, I had a near-death experience, and I came back, and I was told to say, we are sending you back to help to bring to pass the immortality of mankind.
Oh, really?
And, yes, and people said, you're a Jesus freak. Well, it's only three or four, and the angels or whatever being made me learn the word immortality. And I was so taken with experiencing this that I would like give little lectures to the kids. There's no beginning and there's no end.
My mother used to tell me that. And I would say, Mom, that's not an answer.
Well, I've had many experiences here in Salt Lake City. I'll tell you, it's a weird place. I did have a second experience in a past life that I died and crossed over again, and I experienced another realm.
You're almost like the female Danion Brinkley. He's gone three or four times now.
Well, and I've had experiences where I've had an illness and I went to England, and I've been in the crop circles and that, and it seems that what I've learned is consciousness is an element of matter. Thoughts are things. And we have not unified in our consciousness. So we could co-create. And you have to almost accept there is no beginning and there is no
Well,
end.
Let's get David's thoughts on what you've been commenting on. David, go ahead.
Well, I have been to... I've had a near-death experience without being sick. I've just gone there and come back. But
I'm glad you didn't stay.
Yeah. She's absolutely right that this is a universe of consciousness. What we see in physical form has been manifested by a consciousness or collective consciousness.
Well, I got to tell you, it is one of the most mind-perplexing, and everybody who calls in has that same feeling that you and I do. It's not science. It's not answerable by science.
Absolutely not, no.
If science would start dabbling with the metaphysical, with the supernatural, they might get closer to an answer.
You know, the Greeks were really, really close. When science first started as an offshoot of philosophy, science was called natural philosophy, and it was all part of the same big picture. But then things got splintered away, and especially with mathematics, and then they basically became divorced.
We're going to come back in a moment with David Rowland and take final phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. And then next hour, Seth Speaks, that material with Seth. I'll tell you all about it. You're probably saying, who the heck is Seth? I'll get into that. Next hour, Mark Allen Frost joins us. He has written a number of books with the discarnate entity, Seth, and we're going to be talking with him. And I do believe he even will take questions for Seth, so get ready for that. We're going to come back in a moment with David Rowland and take your final calls on just how in the world did the universe start. So stick with us on that to be sure. And welcome back, David Rowland with us. A couple of his books, The Origin of Everything and What We Know About the Universe That Isn't So. And, of course, your calls for the rest of this half hour. David, if we've learned anything from tonight, what would you say that might be?
You probably said it best, that physics has no answer for the cause of the universe because whatever the cause is has nothing to do with physics.
That's true. And why don't physicists say that and agree with us?
Well, they have a commitment to their careers, and the mathematics is very seductive. You can create all kinds of mathematical equations that show that this develops into this and so on and so on. But what the mathematics shows may not have any relevance to reality. And I think what's really required is in our educational system, anybody who wishes to study theoretical physics should take a course in logic prior to that, because if they do that, they're not going to go way off in these tangents.
Good point. Let's go back to the calls. John in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Hi, John.
Hi, George, David. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
When I was in college, I took a course in religion, and the professor was an amateur astrologer, and he gave the biblical reason for the universe as God. He believes that God created the universe. Then we asked him, well, who created God? He said, before God, there was only time, and after time, there was nothing. So that was his reason, and, you know, we couldn't question him after that, because he said time, that was it.
If you questioned it, he would have failed you in the course, right?
But thank you very much, David, and I'd like to hear what you think about that. It's very simple, but maybe it's not a scientific reason, but...
You don't sound religious, and I'm not putting you down, David, for that. That's your own opinion and your own lifestyle. But you sound like you are away from that part of the theories.
I'm not religious, but I am spiritual.
Okay, I'll buy that.
If you get the difference, because this gentleman. Time only exists in the universe, in the physical universe. It doesn't exist in the greater realm of spirit. Let's put it that way.
Next up, we've got Wayne in Tacoma, Washington. Lots of Washington callers tonight. Hey, Wayno.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you very much, George, for taking my call. And David, I just did some number crunching on the theoretical age of this universe, as you said, 14 billion. Somebody said 14 billion years
13.8 billion years old. I've got it to the day.
Right. And I multiplied that by the distance from the moon. We know it travels away from the Earth at 1.5 inches a year. So I multiplied that by 14.8 by 1.5 inches, and it came up with 250,000 miles. Well, that means the moon would be either the Earth or on the far side of the Earth. So that didn't work out. And we know that the Earth would only function properly if the moon was a certain distance from the Earth. So even if you took that by 1/4, 250 billion years old, or I guess that would be 250 million years old, that would still be relatively a long period of time. So it seems like the actual numbers are coming down to an early Earth age, and many people have said, you know, 10 or 15,000 years.
Or 6,000.
There's a lot of theologians that have no problem with the Earth being millions of years old, and I don't either. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on the Earth distance from the moon, and how close could the moon be for the Earth to function properly?
I don't have an answer to your question because I've not studied that in detail, but I will make a comment on the supposed 13.8 billion
year-old universe.
Yeah. Now, when we look out through the Hubble telescope, we have a spherical horizon, and some scientists believe that that's as far as we can see, that's the whole universe. But no, it's like on a ship, for example, if you're at sea and there's no land in sight, what you have is a circular horizon, and scientists are in the same position. With the spherical horizon, and they assume that our telescope we can see like about 13.4 billion years into the past, because that's how long it takes light to travel. And they make all kinds of assumptions that has anything to do with the age of the universe, and it absolutely does not.
All right, next up, we've got Lynn in Vancouver, Canada. Hello, Lynn.
Hi, George. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You are welcome.
And hello, David. Thank you so much for doing this work. It's a fascinating question that's been stupefying human beings since time began. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
Good one.
Anyway, I just wanted to point out, like, I totally agree with the philosophical bent of this, because I've always, just my comment, then I have a question, because I've always looked to the shamans of the First Nations and the indigenous populations throughout time and space as human evolution has gone, and I constantly think of the Paleo-Indian man literally living on the edge of fight and flight as they, you know, brought down the great American lions and the great mastodons and stuff like that. Like, that just chills me how they managed to survive the way they did. And here we are today, pretty cushy in comparison. So I've always loved the way the indigenous people look to the symbiotic energy of everything in their known universe, but we're able to step out of that and come up with the creator, and I put that in quotations because I can't go through and list all of them in the proper manner. But so I just love that you've brought it to the 21st century. And here's my question. Right now on board the ISS, they have a machine called the AMS, the Alpha Magnetic Spectrometer, that's currently measuring what the universe is made of, specifically discerning what dark matter is made of. And I suppose I'd just like you to comment on whether or not you think that once the data starts coming in from the AMS, if that in fact will get us closer to a unified answer that everyone can accept. Obviously, that's a scientific contraption up on the ISS, and I don't know if it thinks it knows it exists, and therefore it can ask questions of why it exists, too. I'm starting to get stupid because it's late. But anyway, I thought I'd maybe just, you know, right now they've got a machine trying to figure it all out, and I wondered if you knew if they might be able to figure it out from that machine. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Okay.
They won't be able to figure it out because dark matter doesn't exist. And there was another experiment where they burrowed in under some mountain and did some experiments trying to produce dark matter, and they couldn't. So I have no idea what the machine may very well be measuring, some electromagnetic fields out in space. But it's going to be up to interpretation what the scientists do with whatever data produces, but there is, in fact, no dark matter.
Let's go to Michael in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Michael, go ahead, sir. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, George, and God bless you for having this show on.
Thank you.
In reference to the last caller, she admitted to getting stupid, and that's my main complaint here. I like what Mr. Roland has been saying here. I think he said it more simply and concisely than any guest that we've had on the show. However, the fact that George Norrie agrees with Mr. Roland, and the fact that Michael in Virginia Beach agrees with Mr. Roland so far, doesn't really get us anywhere. We need Dr. Hugh Ross to take this man's argument point by point and tell us whether he agrees. And then we need Mr. Rowland to come back with a rebuttal to defend his position if it is necessary for it to be defended. The problem with our educational system is that it is run by crooked, money-grubbing dictators who know that the Darwinian evolutionary model is a huge gigantic lie. They know it. They all know it. So they're changing the subject. They're talking about transgender and everything else just to keep the Christians thrown off base, keep them off guard, keep them from getting power and getting hold of all those endowments in all those universities that belong to people who think like George Norrie and Dave Rollins. And Dr. Hugh Roth.
A lot about money, isn't it, David?
Yes, it's a lot about money, and it's a lot about career advancement. I found in like physics departments, for example, that it's publish or perish. Everybody's got his own pet theory. He has to advance if he wants.
If they want to make money in advance, you're right.
Yeah, that's right.
And if they can advance, they'll go for it without worrying about whose toes they step on, right?
Exactly. And then in case of Edwin Hubble, for example, he created a masterful hoax, and it was before there were Nobel Prizes awarded. But he wanted to go down in history, and that was his motivation because his data was just really contrived. There's no relation to reality.
Let's go to Lance in Los Angeles. Lance, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, George.
Sure,
you're
thing.
Awesome, man. You're like my every night. You did a show about loneliness, and this show, you guys are like my friend.
I'm your nighttime buddy, Lance.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Rowland, you're awesome, man. I agree with everything you're saying, man. There's so much more to this life that we can't explain, and there's so much strange phenomena, and it's all a big mystery, but it's a fun mystery. And I appreciate all your work that you're doing to try to explain it further. I have to agree with everything you're saying. I as well have past memories from a past life and birthmarks to correlate with those memories and other strange occurrences, but that's for another show. And I do have a question about that, though. And then I have a question about I have two questions, if I may. They're easy to answer, though. One's about the Hadron Collider. And do you think that we're tinkering with technologies we shouldn't be tinkering with? And if that's supposed to be like a mini Big Bang, and what if we keep making bigger and bigger? I think China's supposed to make a bigger Hadron Collider. And then what if technology is way out in space, like aliens created some really massive collider, and that is what created on accident some huge explosion bigger than anything the universe has ever seen? And that's what appears to look like a Big Bang from deep and out of space, but also it really is just really advanced technology is getting way out of hand, you know, because we're only, a couple hundred years in technology, and we're getting pretty out of hand.
We're pretty close.
I can assure you that aliens don't bother with silly things like colliders. They don't prove anything. The billions of dollars have been wasted, and I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of careers. There was a theory, actually a chap won a Nobel Prize for it. It's called the Higgs boson theory.
The God particle, right?
The God particle, right. And so they had 100 million collision experiments, they had evidence of a God particle that existed for less than a billionth of a second. But it really was an experimental error. It was like a success rate of 0.00001%. It's absolute nonsense.
That is crazy. We've only got a minute left. David, would you give people information on your website and your books?
Yeah, my website is davidrowland.name. My books are available from Amazon, What We Know About the Universe That Isn't So, and The Origin of Everything, Uniting Science and Philosophy.
What if we took the position, David, that we may never get the answers to how it all started? All we know is we're here. Let's make the best that we can for the people we care about, our friends, family, our listeners, and enjoy our life. Why don't we just do that?
That's what I've been doing since about age 16. I figured, I don't know where this is going, but I know I'm here now.
That's the way to do it. David, thanks for being on the program. Keep in touch with us, okay?
Thank you. I will. Thank you.
Up next, we're going to be talking about Seth. He was a discarnate entity, started speaking through a woman by the name of Jane Roberts, who would write down his information. Now it continues with Mark Allen Frost. We'll be back.